Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes, the psalmist said. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
One of those needs he mentions in this simple phrase in the beginning of verse 3, and it was years and years and years of quoting and reading Psalm 23 before it ever leapt out to me. But when he says, he restoreth my soul, he restoreth my soul. So let me make this as a side note real quick. I think the reason that phrase is in there is because the psalmist and the Spirit of the Lord wanted to speak to the psalmist because he wanted some of us to hear this, that we're not the first people to ever be in a spot where we needed some restoration, where my soul needed restoring. You know, we drove up here from Redwater tonight, and when we drive back home, our fuel gauge isn't going to say the same thing it did when we left the house. You know why? Because we used our vehicle, right? And so if you just let it sit in the driveway, it doesn't run out of resources. But if you drive it all over the place, at some point you got to go where? You got to go to the pump. You got to pull up somewhere where you get some power, some fuel. And so when we're exercising in life, we live, we walk, and we expend this energy. And then because of that, we've got to come to places where we pull up to the table that he set for us and prepared for us and get some nourishment. And not just the normal wear and tear, but some of the wear and tear that obviously you guys must have talked about this morning, because how many of you know that difficulties, even for the believers, still show up sometimes? And when those times come, or those feelings come, or those unfair circumstances come, or the things come, or even on the days when you wake up and you're just mad at the world and don't even know why. I see some of y'all have that trouble too. And sometimes you just don't have a clue. And they're like, just frustrated. When I was sharing that story about the guy that come up and said, the Lord said, strike me in the face. One of the guys sitting there said, oh, I pray God sends me somebody that says that. I think it'd make me feel better just to knock the dog soup out of some old boy. Well, you're laughing. Only reason you're laughing is because you can relate to that. You know, at some point, you just want to do something to let some of it out. Hey, listen, when we live in, this ain't Eden. This is not heaven. Read Romans chapter 8. This world is not intended to be. This world is not our home. By the time we're done with our time in this world, we'll be done with our time in this world. God is using the imperfections of the temporary present to cause us to long for the perfection of the perfect eternal. And so when I read Psalm 23, especially that phrase in verse 3 where it says, he restoreth my soul. That's in the here and now. That's in the temporary. That's in the high and low, the mountaintop valley world that you and I live in. So whether it is that you're on a mountaintop or a valley, it's the same God that restores the soul. But when your soul needs restoring, there's no other pump to pull up to that can do it for you. And anytime you try to pull up to another pump, you're going to be in trouble. I pulled up the other day. I didn't even know this was going to be in here tonight. I pulled up the other day to Roadrunner, and there was a guy, and he was started fueling up. He was about to fill up a vehicle, but he decided he'd fill up the gas can first. And his daughter went in to pay, and when she came back out, she said, Daddy, that's diesel. He said, I was just going to wash the can out a little. I thought, oh, man, bless his heart, he's trying to slide out of that one right there. But I only looked at it. I felt sorry for him. Does that feel like something? You know what I'm saying? Okay. But if you fill up your tank with diesel fuel and you don't have a diesel. Yeah. Hey, there's only one source for restoring your soul. Nothing else can make you run right. Nothing else can make you run, but know this. He who? The shepherd. Jesus. Jesus is our shepherd. I know, I'm sure David went into all the background of Psalm 23 and these Davidic Psalms and who David was, and you're familiar with all that, what the time frames are. But you've got to know how long this is before we actually had a physical Jesus walking in the earth. You got to know this is a long time before, but God prophetically laid so many things out in beautiful fashion all through the Old Testament. This is just one of those places where he paints a beautiful picture of who Jesus is as our shepherd. We've cut straight to the chase tonight. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the Lord, and he is our shepherd. And if you know this shepherd, he always takes care of his flock. And he's the restorer of souls. If you need your soul restored, man, go to him. He's got what's necessary for it. But now I want to get down to where I'm supposed to be. I love this last phrase of the 23rd Psalm for a couple of reasons, and we'll get there in just a second. But if I will be in relationship, if you'll be in a relationship with this shepherd, there's a lot of things this psalm's going to tell you are going to happen in your life. But there's two great promises right here in verse 6. And it says this, surely goodness. It doesn't say maybe. It says surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So let's break that down for a moment. If you follow him, what two things are going to follow you? Goodness and mercy. Listen to what the Bible has to say about goodness in a couple places. Psalm 52:1, the loving kindness, which is the same word for the goodness of the Lord, endures continually. Psalm 52:1. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good, thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes, the psalmist said. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. Psalm 139:14 says, I'll give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Wonderful are thy works. Why in the world I accuse that one? Because it didn't have the word good in there. No, it's got the word wonderful are thy works. Have you ever thought about what it is that God has done in the way he created this world? It's amazing. I was on a bush hog Saturday. That was yesterday, I think. And I was trying to clean up a piece of land that we have right up here in the Bowen community. And man, I was bush hogging along, and I got to I could see the spot I was just about to run over, and it was one of those little white, freaky-looking flowers. You know the ones with the little spidery thing? Now, before we got this place on the river there 15 years ago, I never had seen anything like that. And it's just this one little plant, and I've never seen it anywhere else. And I saw it there, and I had to stop for a minute and just stop and look at it. It's amazing what God has made. You know it? When you think about the goodness of God in creation, and this is one of the main ways that he first demonstrates his goodness. You think about what God did when he created everything that he created, because he created some amazing sights. There's some amazing things in this planet, in this world to see. And all we see is this planet. And this is just a scratch at the surface of what all he's created. But all the things there are for us to see. I don't know how many of you guys have ever watched the sunset in northwest New Mexico. Or even more, watch it come up in the morning. It'll blow your mind, man. I've never seen that many colors at one time. Or stand there and watch that thunderstorm circle that mesa and watch those lightning bolts, and then as it goes away and the sun goes down behind, it's amazing, the colors. Think about that for a second, though. When God created the human body, it was a demonstration of goodness. He created our eyes, okay? And when He created our eyes, why did He give us eyes? So we could
see.
Okay, but what was it? Is it necessary that He gave us color? Is anybody here colorblind? Nobody's colorblind in this crowd? Wow. We got several folks in our church that are colorblind. Well, I say several. I know one for sure. My associate pastor, Corey Calicott, is colorblind. So a lot of times on Sunday, he'll say, do these match? Because he can't tell if his socks are black or blue. You know, it's just different shades. But we could get by without seeing color. But God decided, I'm going to go. That wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary, but He went above and beyond and created eyes that see color. And simultaneously, not only did He create eyes that could perceive color, but He created innumerable colors to perceive. Why did He do that? Because He's God and He can. And He wanted to demonstrate His goodness. Just think of another thing. Sense. I mean, not this kind of sense. Smell. Your olfactory senses. Your taste and your ability to smell. When He put that nose on the front of your face, He put it there for a lot of reasons. But part of what He did is made it where we could smell. Now, yesterday, I was smelling pretty bad when I got through working. And I sat on the porch right next to my dad, and there was a fan on this side of me, and my dad was on this side of me. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry, you're downwind from his fan. He said, it's all right, son. I used all my sense of smell up a couple years back. I can't smell nothing anymore. I said, well, that's working out to your benefit today. But the fact that God would give us a sense of smell, why did He do that? I'm sure there's reasons why we haven't figured it out yet. But He didn't have to. But not only did He create that sense of smell, how many fragrances are there? Think about taste for a moment. You know, it's necessary that I eat. But it's not necessary that food tastes a certain way. Or that I have a bent towards certain tastes, and you might have a bent towards other tastes. But see, God didn't just create a body that could consume something and transform it into energy so that we could live for His glory. But He decided to go way beyond that. And He created these taste buds in our mouth, and some of them detect sweetness, and some of them detect bitterness. And then some of them swell up when you lie. I don't know how that works. But then He also created all these spices. And we could go on and on. If you think about the goodness of God, just in creation, He's gone far above what He had to. Why would He do that? Because He's God. And when He decides to do something, He's going to do it all the way. By the way, He knew what kind of people would be using all these eyes and ears. We didn't talk about ears, but these mouths, and He knew what we'd use them for. He knew all the abuses we'd have for all the beautiful things that He made and created, yet He still did it anyway because He's a gracious God. Amen. And that's just a little bit of the goodness of God. Often in our church, and probably in this church too, or you've been somewhere that does, the preacher will say, God is good, and the church will say, and all the time. Now, let me just share this with you. When you say God is good, when we say that, God's good all the time, and all the time God's good, we're not saying that we've decided that God, you're good. No, what we're declaring is He is the source, the measure, the standard of what good is. God is good. The only way we can possibly define good or bad is if there's a standard for good, and God is it. Matter of fact, the Saxon word for God originally just means the good. The good. So God is, He is good. He's the reason we can determine if anything else is good, because we have God to compare it to. He's good. And now the psalmist tells us this. Surely the goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hey, guess what? No matter how much you mess up, and you have messed up, you probably will mess up some more. God's not taking back what He did in creating some of the things He created, the way He created, and His goodness He's not pulling back. Especially for those who walk with the shepherd. Especially for those who walk with the shepherd. Man, let me just tell you about a little of His goodness. It's not just in His creation, but my favorite part of His goodness is the way He relates to us. You know, I don't know about you, but we're not following a dead Jesus. We're not just studying history lessons from yesterday. He walks with us and talks with us. And I believe if we'll come to expect that goodness is going to follow us, you might blow your mind what goodness God will lay out in front of you. You know, we talked about those sons of the prophets trying to discern the voice of God and learn how to hear His voice and so they could be led by His Spirit. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And some years ago, I just began to pray that God would show me how to hear His voice. And lately, it's something I'm returning to, God, because I don't want to just go through emotions. I want to be relational. I want to be in the moment with the Lord. Amen. And sometimes that means weird stuff will happen, but God will demonstrate His goodness. You know, I'm thinking about 16 different stories I could tell you about right now. Let me tell you just two of them. Years ago, and I got reminded of this 2 weeks ago because the guy plays lead guitar at our church. One of them came to me and he said, "Got something for you," and he held my hand out and he dropped a wheel weight in my hand. And he said, "I found that on a curb this morning, Brother Ty. Thought about you." And that's because 20 years ago almost, not quite 20 years ago now, 18 years ago, had a little girl, a young girl in our church, got flipped off the back of a four-wheeler and hit her head on the pavement on the highway. They rushed her to Waterloo Hospital and got a phone call, and we ended up down there. And the right side of her face is crushed in, her eyes come out of socket, and they're, it's bad. And they pulled us in another room and said, we're going to end up flying her up to Little Rock Children's Hospital. And her dad was, he was a self-professed, one time he told me he was atheist, then he decided he was agnostic, but that was just kind of his background. But that night he called me in there and said, "Man, can you pray with us?" And I started, I wanted to say, "Wait a minute," you know, but I thought, "This ain't the time to do that." So, man, I prayed with him, prayed with that little girl. We prayed that God would meet everybody's needs and do all this stuff. Man, I left out of there. And let me tell you how the wheel weight part of this got involved. I'd gone to the hospital, left the hospital, went to the funeral home for just a minute because I had somebody else over there walking across the parking lot. I saw a wheel weight on the ground. And, man, something hit me, just said, "Pick it up. Pick up that wheel weight." And I thought, that was a stupid thought, and I walked right by it. Got back in my truck. When I sat in my truck, man, very clear, just an impression. I'm not talking about booming voice. I'm just impression. Pick up the wheel weight. So I put it through my little three-part test. Is there anything about what I think you might be telling me to do that's contrary to Scripture? Could it potentially hurt anybody? Could it potentially give God glory? I said, "Lord, I don't have a clue if this is you or not. I may just be being stupid. But there's not a verse that says, 'Thou shalt not pick up wheel weights at the funeral home.'" Went through the whole list. So I got out of my truck, went back over and got the wheel weight, put it in my pocket, went back to the hospital. While I'm sitting there in the room with this family, I'm playing with it in my pocket. It breaks in half. I pulled half of it out and threw it across the room to the youth pastor, and he caught it and he said, "What's this?" And I said, "That's some lead." I said, that's some lead. So now I said, "Keep that as a reminder of balance in your life, because somebody's out of balance somewhere right now." And he thought that's pretty good. And he said, "And also, if I ever don't feel led to do something, I can reach in my pocket and I'll feel led." we were just being goofy, you know. And he said, "Why'd you pick it?" What? I said, "Man, I don't know." But later on that night, when they said, "We're putting this girl on a helicopter, we're going to fly her off," they told her daddy, he said, "You get to Little Rock as quick as you can. We're going to try to do surgery on her." He got in his vehicle and left. I got in my vehicle and left. Didn't hear from him again until about 7 o'clock the next morning. My phone rang, Brother Todd. And when I saw it was him, I thought, "Uh-oh, this is not good." He said, "Brother Todd, man, can you talk for a second?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Is she okay?" He said, "Oh, man, she's fine. I didn't call about her." He said, "I want you to know by the time we got here last night, they said her face wasn't caved in. Her eye was already back in socket. She don't need any surgery. They're releasing her in about an hour and a half to go home." Amen. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. He said, "That ain't why I called you." He said, "Man, when that doctor told me to get in my car and go to Little Rock, I had to run to the ATM real quick to get some cash. And he said, when I pulled up to the ATM, my window wouldn't roll down. My electric window," he said, "it's never not rolled down before. I couldn't get it to work." He said, "I had to back up and get out of my car like a moron and walk around and walk up to the ATM." He said, "When I got out of my car and stepped up, it was already dark. It's about 8:30 at night." And he said, I stepped out and right underneath the streetlight, there was a wheel weight sitting on the curb. And he said, "Something told me to pick it up." He said, "You think God's trying to talk to me?" I said, "Man, are you kidding me? Yeah, I think he's trying to talk to you. It's crazy that God will use little things like a wheel weight. And I told that story at a camp almost 20 years ago, and our lead guitarist at our church was there. He still remembers that. When he finds a wheel weight, I got a stack of wheel weights he brings me. But it's just little things like that that remind me of the goodness of God. Amen. Of the goodness of God. Golly, I don't know how much time I got tonight. Can I tell you one more? I was driving. It's good for me to remember this stuff, too. I was driving across a bridge on Jefferson Avenue where it crosses the interstate one day, and there was a box sitting in the middle of the road. That little box. I wrote all this stuff down so I wouldn't forget the crazy things that happened. Little box in the road, and I was running late as usual. And man, something just hit me, pick up that box. And I thought, that's crazy. And I drove on. But I was a mile down the road before, man, about the third time that impression hit me. Go back and get that box. I thought, oh, Lord, am I... And I thought, Lord, are you laughing at me? Or are you thinking, you know, this guy's crazy? But I turned around, went back and picked up that box and drove back to my office. And I looked at the label and I called the manufacturer. It was a water filter, expensive one. One about this long water filter for some industry that fell off a UPS truck. And I called this manufacturer up in Michigan or somewhere up north. And I said, hey, I got this box I found in the road in Texarkana, Arkansas. And it came from your manufacturing company, and I think it fell off a delivery truck. I just want to let you guys know it. Only thing the lady asked me was, why don't you pick it up? I said, because I thought the Lord told me to. She said, hold. She transferred my phone call. Second lady answered, said, this is so-and-so, how can I help you? And I said, my name is Todd Reed, and I found this box. And I started up, she said, yeah, hey, I know all that part. She said, just tell me the part about why you picked it up. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I've been praying recently that the Lord teach me how to hear his voice more clearly, and I really thought the Lord just told me to stop and get it for some reason. She said, hold just one moment. The fourth time they transferred me, I mean, by the third time, I realized something's happening here. By the fourth time, that dude said, it was a man answered the phone that time. He said, sir, can you tell me why you picked that box up out of the road? And I said, when I was 8 years old, and I just shared my testimony from when I came to Christ, walked through the whole story, and how I got to the place where I wanted to hear the voice of God, and I just felt like God told me to. And you know what? When I finished, he said, thank you, sir. He said, you didn't know it, but I've had you on speakerphone. Our executive board's been meeting. You just shared the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ with all my staff here. I'm like, what? But look, I'm just telling you, if you follow the shepherd, goodness will follow you. And I'm not talking about you have to make weird stuff up. He'll do it. He'll do it for you. But look for it. Listen for it. And expect the goodness of God is going to follow you. If he is the good shepherd and his word is true, you can expect goodness in your life. As long as you're following the shepherd. And listening for his voice. But he didn't just say goodness will follow you. He also said mercy is going to follow you. How many of you, who knows what mercy is? Somebody out there, can somebody out there help me? What's a good definition of mercy? Well, how do we normally define mercy? That's where he forgives us of our sins. Absolutely. You know, a lot of times when we talk about mercy, we talk about grace and mercy together. Mercy and grace, grace and mercy. Matter of fact, if you read the Apostle Paul's writings in the New Testament, he almost never mentions one without the other. Because grace is that term that we refer to the things that we get from God that we didn't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get from God what we did deserve. Okay, most of the time in the Old Testament, or a lot of times in the Old Testament, the word for mercy is translated loving kindness. Because of God's loving kindness, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Well, thank the Lord for that. As a matter of fact, let me read you some scriptures just real quick about what the Word of God says about mercy. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever. Thank you, Jesus. Because he delights in mercy. Who does? This God. This God who gave us this shepherd. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Thank God that he's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. I was sharing with our church just the other day. We've been going through Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, where we approach the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Obtain mercy. And I was sharing with them about mercy. And when one of our kids was younger, he was actually apparently listening during the sermon, because like the next day he got in trouble. And I was just about to exercise some discipline on him, and he said, "Daddy, show me mercy." And that impressed me. Man, that moved me. As a matter of fact, man, let me share with you this story. I thought I brought it. Maybe I brought the wrong story. There's a story about, I know it's on here. A mother, here it is. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice. Justice demanded the boy's death. She said, "But I'm not asking for justice." The mother said, "I'm pleading for mercy." Napoleon said, "But your son does not deserve mercy." "Sir," the woman cried, "it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy's all I'm asking for." He said, "Well then, I guess I'm going to have mercy." Hey, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more the Heavenly Father? He's merciful. By the way, my little boy, he didn't get a spanking that day, because I thought I got a chance to show him what Daddy God looks like. And then the next day, he tried it again. I showed him what Daddy Todd looks like. That line only works so long. Yeah, you gotta repent at some point, okay? But thank God for mercy, and that mercy endures forever.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.